Welcome to the Starsology Astrology Podcast. I'm your host, Arwen O'Neill, and today I'm here with my friend, Katya.
Hello. Thanks for having me, Arwen.
Thanks for coming. And today we're going to be talking about a transit that's coming up, Mars and Venus, when they're conjunct. And this is going to be exact on February 22nd, 2024, a transit that happens once a year. This time it's happening in Aquarius at 9 degrees Aquarius.
I've been hearing about how it's apparently an attraction to an unconventional or rebellious partners or thinking outside the box or something?
Totally.
What's this about?
Yeah, exactly. So this transit once a year, as I said, and it's going to be a pretty quick transit because both Venus and Mars move pretty fast. But we'll talk a bit about what you might be able to expect, and then we'll talk about what it looks like in your natal chart.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Cool. Thank you.
We can expect to feel sort of a heightened sense of excitement in relationships because, yeah. So it's the 22nd, but hopefully it'll affect us a little bit on the either side. Of course, it is in Aquarius, which is in a cold, detached kind of intellectual air sign. So it won't be super fireworksy. But that being said, it's probably a great time to get to know somebody new or, yeah, exactly. Or to reconnect with a partner with whom you share common interests and you can do something intellectually stimulating together, which is a very Aquarian thing.
Okay. So lots of deep connections, more mental stimulation.
Yeah. So this is one of those people who have Venus and Mars conjunct tend to be a little bit more temperamental and competitive, and they have an adventurous, independent streak. In childhood, they're often more connected to the parent of the opposite gender. And this is because the blending of male and female energies is heightened when Venus is conjunct to Mars, regardless of what sign it's in, but especially in an air sign. And the Aquarians are the airiest and most detached of all the air signs. So it would be different if it was in like Leo or something. You'd have probably a really fiery, competitive, maybe aggressive and flamboyant kind of person.
Mm-hmm.
But in Aquarius, you're going to get kind of a more oddball intellectual type, but still very independent and, you know, more of a competitive kind of person.
Oh.
Depending on how tight the conjunction is, if you have Venus and Mars in a really tight conjunction, they're going to act almost like as one super planet. Any aspects that happen from other planets to that duo will be felt like in the extreme. So if it's a wide conjunction, though, maybe one of the planets is like 5 degrees away, it'll have a bit different feel. And then maybe you'll have the Venus or the Mars being stronger in the chart, depending on, you know, if other aspects in the natal chart, like maybe Uranus is like tightly square to Venus, but not to the Mars. So then the Venus will kind of have the upper hand. And that would make the Venus like a stronger planet. But in general, they'll, if it's a tight conjunction, they'll sort of operate as like one massive.
And so this is this a harmony between male female or
Yeah, I mean, it's the male and female energies. It's like archetypes.
Yeah.
Like we wouldn't want to say it's necessarily like representing male and female in your chart because everyone's different.
Yes.
Might be a male or a female, non-binary, whatever.
Yeah.
But it's the male female archetypes. So
okay. In
this case, they're in Aquarius, which is kind of almost like a really gender neutral sign to begin with. Like the air signs tend to be the most sort of gender neutral of the signs and most intellectual and all that stuff. But Aquarius is the most oddball of all of them. I think for some reason, I always think of David Bowie, even though he was a Capricorn, he had a few planets in Aquarius and he always strikes me as this very Aquarian sort of Aquarian archetype.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that certainly presents himself like that.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Totally. The spaceman sort of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how would someone express themselves creatively during this time or in this?
Yeah. Totally. I mean, any kind of creativity that brings a bit of an innovative, adventurous spark of disruption or, you know, something using technology.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah. I mean, Aquarius is definitely a technological sign, and this is a really good way of using that and doing something that's sort of adventurous and different and exciting. And it's somewhat hedonistic, actually. It's funny. There's a book called Aspects in Astrology by Sue Tompkins, and it's a comprehensive guide to interpretation. And she describes this aspect as characterized by romantic adventure, love and competition, romantic triangles, sexual love and assertion to compromise, putting energy into beauty and fighting for money. So those are her keywords for this, for Venus conjunct Mars.
For some reason, I didn't expect the money part, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's the Venus thing. Venus is one of the money planets, as we say. Venus and Pluto are both about money because it's about like what you value and what you would do or what you desire. What's desirable is Venus. So what you desire and what you're willing to fight for is Mars. So when they're mm-hmm. in the same exact sign, or when they're conjunct especially, those things are in harmony in your chart. And that's why it can be like a really competitive aspect, because you have someone who their values, what they desire, and what they're willing to fight for are basically the same.
Oh,
so
wow.
That creates a kind of a supercharged energy. Whatever they want to direct it at, it's going to be like all that much more strong and okay. more energetic.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
And back to the romance.
Yeah.
Like the romantic part. Like, what does that look like?
Well, okay. So here's the thing that Stephen Arroyo says about people who have Venus and Mars conjunct. Sexual relationships always play a really important part when Venus and Mars are conjunct. And these people can be somewhat hedonistic, temperamental, and almost inconsiderate of others in their pursuit of pleasure or self-interest in relationships. But they are also romantic, and they can be very creative depending on what sign it is in. And of course, in Aquarius, that has to do with technology. Mm-hmm. It has to do with intellectual pursuits and maybe even abstract or mathematical or digital creativity.
Okay. So a bit unorthodox.
Unorthodox.
Yeah. Okay.
Exactly.
Do they ever feel awkward or uncomfortable?
Oh, probably. But I think that they cover over it well.
Okay.
And Sue Tompkins stresses that there's a competitive nature to this aspect, and frequently there's a pursuit of money or an appreciation of the finer things that's enhanced by their ambition for acquisition.
Oh.
Yeah.
Interesting. Well, I guess the money aspect is different from the romance aspect.
For sure.
Tied quite a bit with friendships as well.
Yeah.
That's apparently just as important as romance, but the sense that I'm getting is that this kind of personality or this kind of a person would encourage a more non-possessive, community-oriented relationship based on mutual trust, which is so different from this like acquisition through money, which I guess is...
Yeah, actually, it's funny because I'm kind of mixing the descriptions here, but what you're talking about is definitely where it's in Aquarius, for sure, because that's kind of the more communal, a little bit more intellectual thing.
Okay.
And with just the Venus conjunct Mars, that's where like the money and the drive are kind of combined, like the desire okay. for money or the desire for possessions and stuff. But okay. in Aquarius, that does become, as you say, more detached, more sort of intellectual and a little bit more eccentric and unorthodox.
Uh-huh.
Definitely. And also, as you say, these attractions are not just sexual. They're also to do with friendship. And Mars and Venus are absolutely about who you're attracted to, whether it's sexual or platonic,
mm-hmm.
because those can be very different. Sometimes there's this opposites attract thing where you're attracted to someone who's very different from you,
mm-hmm.
but your friends tend to have more common interests. Mm-hmm. I think that's almost a bit of a myth too, because you don't really tend to find a lot of people in relationships, especially long-term relationships, where they're really opposites.
Yeah, that's
like
true.
You know, you might be attracted to someone and be like, oh wow, that's you know, from afar.
Yeah,
but that doesn't mean that you would actually necessarily even get through like a first date with that person if they were really opposites. You know.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's true, actually. They do start to meld more into one.
And opposite can be a very surface thing, too.
Yeah.
You might be attracted to someone who seems very opposite appearance-wise, but then once you get to know them, like the reason that you stay in the room after that first date or keep seeing them over and over is because you have something that you can talk about. And that does take some kind of commonality, I think.
So I guess that's the Mars and Venus are in harmony, that's where you get the compromise and the cooperation and I guess like a lot of deep connections and bonding if it's not in harmony.
Well, yeah, I mean, that brings in what the other person's Venus and Mars are.
Yeah.
For sure, because like having the conjunction, that means that those drives are common in your chart, but that doesn't necessarily mean you'll get along with anyone else better. It just means that those things are... they're coming from the same sort of source and the same sort of type within you, within your personality. But then maybe that other person, like if you have, for example, if you have Venus and Mars conjunct in Aquarius, but you have a partner or, you know, interested in someone who has Venus in Taurus and, you know, Mars in like Pisces, those are very different energies.
Okay.
Like that could be a complete bomb because you might not have anything in common and you might not even find a person who has kind of that homey sort of like comfort oriented Venus in Taurus the love of like comfy sweaters and just cuddling up and watching TV or, you that know, or nice. Cooking a nice, right, a nice meal. Like that's amazingly attractive to someone with Venus in Taurus, but someone who has Venus in Aquarius conjunct Mars in Aquarius, that might just be utterly boring to them. They might be like, no, let's go out. Let's have an adventure. Let's learn something. Let's watch the Discovery Channel or, you know, and the, you know, Venus and Taurus might be just like, no, I like my reality shows or whatever.
Yes. Oh, that's amazing. I just earlier today, I discovered that you can take a class on how to ride a unicycle, like an electric unicycle. And I was like, that's a great date idea. And then the person telling me this, they're like, what? And I guess we weren't really vibing.
Example. Yes, exactly.
That's amazing.
Well, while we're on the topic, let's talk a bit more about what Venus in Aquarius and Mars in Aquarius look like.
Okay. Yeah.
So this is from Stephen Arroyo's book, Person to Person Astrology, which is a wonderful book for anyone who's interested in learning more about what, you know, love language of each of these signs is like.
And is this how you discover like where you fit, like what your chart is? Okay.
Totally. And then when you know about the other person, you can kind of read and find the compatibilities. Okay. And especially to do with like what element they're in. So Venus in Aquarius is, that's an air placement. So for example, I have Venus in Libra. So that's another air placement, but it's a very different kind of energy.
Okay.
So that might be really good intellectual stimulation, but it might not be a great combination for like sexual attraction.
Okay.
Just off the top of my head.
So I guess you could still get along really nicely, but it could be like completely platonic.
Right.
Or it could be like
a, and it could like, depend on a bunch of different factors. But that's exactly the kind of thing you want to look for is like compatibility with Venus and Mars placements. Mm-hmm. And then to see what the aspects are between the two charts.
Mm.
But in this case, if you did have Venus and Mars conjunct, that would kind of make their job easier because you would be looking only to compare like one thing, you know, it's like Aquarius to Aquarius or Aquarius to whatever the other person has. So Venus in Aquarius, according to Stephen Arroyo, this person is expressing their affection freely, unconventionally, flirtatiously, humorously, and experimentally. They're individualistic, detached, and rebellious, and they love to exchange theories and ideas, and they need to be actively social with many people in order to give fully of their emotional nature. Mm-hmm. So this is someone who, you know, would want to have probably a lot of friends and maybe a lot of different types of friends, not just one, you know, kind of friend group, but like spread themselves across a lot of different types of interests. And that, you know, seems like it would be a great way to meet people.
Yeah.
You know, so and then Mars in Aquarius means that they assert themselves intelligently, individualistically, eccentrically, and independently. Their achievement of goals can be thwarted sometimes by their rebelliousness, but their revolutionizing urges can be channeled into creative innovations. So he describes Aquarius as the most loyal of the signs, or one of them anyway, but it's also, it's hard for them to stay interested unless they're intellectually stimulated. Relationships would be obviously included in that, but if they lose interest, they are more likely to become emotionally detached than they are to actually be unfaithful. So you might just lose them.
Yeah.
You know,
oh, that almost hurts.
I know.
More.
I know it's awful to think of that, but it's kind of like, yeah, you're not going to cheat, but you're just not there anymore.
Yeah.
You know? I know. It's kind of crushing.
Oh, Arroyo's book. Is this pre dating apps?
Oh, gosh. That's funny. It's actually, it's from 2007, I believe.
Oh, so, okay. So maybe not before eHarmony and Match.
Right. Or, those things existed for sure.
Oh, okay.
But he would be not probably really familiar with them at this point.
Yeah. But somebody who is...
would definitely be this Aquarian person.
Right? Uh-huh. Yeah, totally.
For sure.
Sign up for all the dating apps now, right?
Definitely.
Like, the world is your oyster, as they say.
100%.
Okay, so what they're going to be after is the witty banter, the anything stimulating, but specifically about like in a party setting.
Yes. Yeah. They'll be the one trying to explain Bitcoin to everybody.
Oh, yeah. I'm glad it's Bitcoin these days and not like, what was it before? Like, was it veganism?
Oh, my God.
Let's say that workout that people are going crazy over.
Yeah, like HIIT, like the high intensity.
Okay. Not for you.
Not for me.
Someone else. Okay.
Yeah. Hilarious.
So overall, very fun-loving, but like still seems opposites in that one is a lot more independent, one is a lot more like social, need a lot of like people to listen to me, but they're both rebellious.
Yeah, it's interesting. Aquarius really is, it's a very complex sign. Like Aries is pretty easy to describe,
yeah.
But Aquarius is really, it's because as you go through the zodiac, the signs get more and more complicated. That's kind of the way the zodiac works.
Oh, you start because I'm at the very beginning.
I know, but that's why we have so many planets, right? Because I mean, you're not going to have everything in Taurus. You're not going to have everything in Aries. You're going to have a little bit of everything, or not everything, but a lot of the, you know, a lot of time you'll have at least like half of the zodiac represented in your chart. There's very few people who have like everything in like a few signs.
Oh, okay.
I mean, Allison Price, actually, who my co-host, she has everything in, I think, three or four signs.
Okay.
And she's always saying like, it's all in this one area of the chart, but that's three or four. It's not one.
Mm-hmm.
So they compare it to the development of a person. So Aries is like the baby or the toddler of the zodiac, and it kind of is like the me kind of like head first thing. And then Taurus is, you know, when you first realize like that you can actually have possessions, and then and you can have values, and that's that stage of childhood where, you know, you kind of like, this is mine, you know, like that sort of area. And then Gemini is like when they start talking, and that's like the communication, the beginning of the communication, communicating with your siblings, and then it goes on and on. And so as you get to like those first four signs are like the personal signs, and then the next four are the relationship signs, and then the next four after that are the transpersonal signs, which is like community. So so exactly, Sagittarius, Capricorn, Aquarius, and Pisces are the transpersonal signs, which means that's how you relate to the world as opposed to like yourself or your partner, which is the four in the middle.
I totally had a different idea about like terrestrial zodiacs versus like, you know, like the whole fire, earth, water.
I mean, exactly, there's so many different ways to cut up the same pie, right? So there's the elements, there's the modes, which is like cardinal, fixed. I don't want to get into that
because you lost me there.
It's for another time.
I've checked out.
But yeah, there's a lot of different ways to divide the zodiac.
Cool.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Is there anything else to learn about this?
Well, let's go to our celebrity examples.
Oh, I was hoping you'd go there.
Yeah, okay, exactly. Perfect. And these are all people who actually have the Venus-Mars conjunction in Aquarius.
Okay.
We could talk for days about people who have the conjunction of those two planets, but let's just focus on the ones in Aquarius for now.
Okay.
So Harry Styles, Alec Baldwin, Tony Robbins, the inspirational, motivational speaker, Axl Rose, Gary Oldman, Jennifer Jason Leigh, Sheryl Crow, Holly Hunter, and Eddie Izzard, the comedian.
Okay.
Yeah.
So and bringing people together through quirky interests.
Quirky interests, very oddball.
Yeah,
like big personalities, very like strong-willed.
But quite captivating in a lot of ways. Like, no matter how like you feel about any of these people, it's just like you just can't look away. You can't stop listening.
For sure.
Okay.
And they're always kind of reinventing themselves too. I mean, I'm thinking like Eddie Izzard and Gary Oldman especially. Like, just really, really interesting to watch how they've progressed over time.
Yeah.
And they've always been incredibly strong in whatever they've decided to do, and then just gone a complete 180 and do something else that's just as captivating, and they're just as passionate about it. But very independent, not really taking in what other people are saying or want from them.
It's like, well, we can all learn from that.
Right.
What's that saying back in elementary school where it's like, whatever you say bounces off of me and sticks to you? They don't have that.
They've never had to learn that. That was just natural.
It's just like innate. That's really cool.
Yeah. So take this this transit to be a little more independent, a little more innovative, and maybe a little hedonistic and rebellious.
Yeah, enjoy this time. It sounds fun.
Yeah, totally. Well, thanks for joining me. This has been amazing.
This has been so fun.
All right. Well, I hope you guys had a great Valentine's Day, anyone who's listening to this, and we will see you next time.
Have a great one. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks so much for getting this far through the episode. I just want to take a moment to tell you about the two main options of my astrology services. So the first one is coaching. If you are an aspiring astrologer, and by that I mean someone who's perhaps a hobbyist astrologer or someone who's learning astrology or a student, or you've got a few books and you've been doing it for a while, but perhaps you need a little bit of help to bring it all together, then maybe getting some astrological coaching from me would be the answer for you. The astrology coaching I offer is a one-hour session on Zoom, and it's tailored to answer your particular questions. For example, if you have issues with natal chart readings, we can go there. Or if you're having problems working with your forecasting, we can go there. Or even basic astrology stuff, or even getting yourself organized for your astrology business. The idea is that astrological coaching will answer your particular questions. It's tailored specifically to you and where you are in your astrological journey. And I'm happy to help you out with some guidance about how you can get going, what to focus on, and what to dismiss. So that would be the astrological coaching for people trying to learn astrology. The second astrological service I offer is consultations. So this is for someone who perhaps doesn't know anything about astrology, but they just want to have their chart read or get their chart done. Call it what you will. So once more, this is a one-hour consultation over Zoom. I will interpret your chart, tell you about the main features, tell you about where the energy is flowing, and all the rest of what is entailed in a thorough natal chart interpretation. I can also add in some forecasting in there too, bearing in mind we only have 1 hour. So just in summary, I've got coaching for people who want to learn astrology, and I've got consultations for those who want to get an astrology reading done. I'm Alison Price from starsology.com. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you next time.